Welcome to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. Today I'm going to tell you about 27 messianic prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in just one day, in that one day period from Holy Thursday into Good Friday. It's unbelievable. In fact, there are over 300 messianic prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled by Jesus. The odds of that happening are just astronomical. If one person fulfilled only 8 messianic prophecies of the Old Testament, the odds would be, it's a very long number, 1 with 17 zeros after it. I don't even know what to call that number. If one person fulfilled 48 prophecies, that would be 1 chance in 10 to the 157th power. I mean, it'll break your calculator. The idea that one person could fulfill all 300 plus messianic prophecies? Well, only God could do such a thing. And God did do such a thing in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Anna Willis has compiled a list of 27 messianic prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in just one day. And I'm going to share these with you. It'll be a bit of a quick tour de force here. We won't be able to spend as much time on each one of them, but it's a very, very impressive list. So let's go with number one. The first messianic prophecy fulfilled by Jesus in just one day is how the Messiah would be betrayed by a friend. In Psalm 41, verse 9, it says, "Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." We see this in Mark chapter 14, verse 10. "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them." And of course, we know that he did, in fact, dip his morsel of bread in the same dish that Jesus did. Number two, the Messiah would be forsaken by his own disciples. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones." And we see this in Mark chapter 14, verse 50. "They all forsook him and fled." Number three, there would be a price that would be paid in exchange for the betrayal of the Messiah. In Zechariah 11, 12, it says, "Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver." And we see in Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15, this being fulfilled. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I deliver him to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver." We can also think back to the book of Genesis, how the brothers of Joseph betrayed him, sold him into slavery for money to a Midianite caravan, also foreshadowing the betrayal of Jesus by one of his own. Let's look at the fourth of the 27 messianic prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in just one day. How would this money, this blood money, if you will, be spent? Again, we go to the book of Zechariah. It says, and this is chapter 11, verse 13, "And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter." Now we look at Matthew chapter 27. And you can look at verses 3 through 10. "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then Judas threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them in the treasury because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." The fifth one I want to mention of these 27 prophecies Jesus fulfilled in one day is how the Messiah would be tortured. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, it says, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." And of course, we could go, that's representative of the servant songs of Isaiah. We could go to Isaiah 53. There are so many more verses there that speak to this torture of the future Messiah. Well, we see this in Matthew chapter 27, verses 26 and 30. Then he, and this is Pilate, released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Goes on to say, they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. What about the fact that the Messiah would be dishonored and shamed? This is the sixth messianic prophecy Jesus fulfilled in just one 24-hour period. In Psalm 69, verse 19, it says, you know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. It says, scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. May the table set before them become a snare. Then we have Matthew chapter 27, verse 28. It says, they stripped Jesus and put a scarlet robe on him. In Mark's gospel, it says it is a purple robe. The color isn't that important. It's meant to be a mockery of Jesus in line with the coronation of the Roman Caesar, who was given a laurel wreath around his head, a purple cloak symbolizing royalty, and chants of Hail Caesar. But instead, with Jesus, they put a crown of thorns on his head, a purple robe around him, and they bow down and mock homage before him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. The seventh prophecy, the shepherd would be struck. Zechariah 13:7, strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Matthew 26:31, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me on this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Let's go to the eighth prophecy, how the Messiah's garments would be divided. In Psalm 22:18, and really Psalm 22, the whole thing needs to be read and appreciated. It's an unbelievably accurate portrayal of what happened at the foot of the cross. Psalm 22:18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. We see this in John chapter 19, verse 24 in the New Testament. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now let's go now to number 9, that the Messiah would be silent when he was on trial. Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Let's look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 13 and 14. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him, not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. The tenth prophecy is about the crucifixion of the Messiah. Isaiah 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. In John 19:16, it says, then he, and that's Pilate, delivered him, Jesus, to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And many writers have seen the stripes that Isaiah speaks of, and by his stripes we are healed, as the marks of the whip on the back of Jesus as he is being scourged. Let's look at prophecy number 11, that the Messiah would thirst. Psalm 69, verse 3 says, I am weary with my crying. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God. Let's look at John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Prophecy number 12, the Messiah would be given a bitter drink. Psalm 69, verse 21, they put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. We've alluded to this one before. In John 19, verse 29, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Number 13, people would stare at the Messiah. Psalm 22:17 says, I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse 36, it says, sitting down, they kept watch over him there as Jesus was being crucified. And it does talk about bystanders in the gospel coming by, wagging their heads at him, saying he saved others, but he couldn't save himself. If he's truly the Messiah of Israel, let him come down from the cross. And he was mocked in many other ways. The 14th prophecy, the Messiah's hands and feet would be pierced. Again, back to Psalm 22, verse 16, where it says this. It says, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. That's Psalm 22, verses 16, 17, and 18. And again, we go to Matthew 27:35, but really any of the Gospels could do when it comes to the crucifixion. It says, then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. What about the piercing of the side of the Messiah? That was also prophesied. That's number 15, and it comes from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And then we have in John chapter 19, verse 34, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Number 16, the Messiah would essentially have a broken heart in more ways than one. In Psalm 22:14, we read these words, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. In John 19:34, it says, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Not only was Jesus' heart figuratively broken because of human sin and the rejection of God in view of what they had done to him, but also, this actually did happen, and this is a physical condition that can occur when the body is under extreme stress. A pericardial sac of water, if you will, fluid can build up around the heart. And when the soldier pierced Jesus' side with the lance, of course, blood would have come out, and this pericardial sac would have been pierced as well, and something which would have looked like water would have came out with the blood. Let's look at prophecy number 17 of the 27 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in just one day. That the crowd would scorn him. Some would hate him. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8. All those who see me ridicule me. They mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And we see this in Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 and 43, how this is fulfilled. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The 18th prophecy is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus was the Lamb of God prophesied. In John 1:29 it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The 19th prophecy is that the Messiah would intercede for sinners. In Isaiah 53:12, it says, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In Luke 23:34, Jesus said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. This is Jesus interceding for his killers. Number 20, that the Messiah would cry out. The intense loneliness of the Passion. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? In Matthew 27, 46, it says, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The brutality of the soldiers is number 21. Isaiah 52, verse 14, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. In John 19, verse 5, it says, Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, Behold the man. Number 22, the cry of victory of the Messiah. Psalm 22, 31, they will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. John 19, 30, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And this is the accomplishment of the redemption. Number 23, that the Passover lamb would not have any of its bones broken. In Exodus 12:46, it says, In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. In Psalm 22:17, which we've already looked at, I can count all my bones, they look and stare at me. And then in John chapter 19, verses 33 and 36, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. Number 24, the Messiah would be lumped in with all the other transgressors as if he were a sinner, even though he was sinless. Isaiah 53:9, they made his grave with the wicked, with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. It also says in Isaiah 53:12, Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, Which one of you can convict me of sin? And the answer is no one. Prophecy number 25, the Messiah would be killed, but because of our sins and faults, not his, because he is sinless. In Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, it says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then we see John chapter 11, verses 49 to 52, it says, One of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now he did not say this on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who are scattered abroad. Number 26, that the Messiah would triumph against Satan. And in fact, this is the oldest prophecy in the book, quite literally. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, after the original sin. God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In some translations, it says, He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In John chapter 12, verses 30 to 33, Jesus says, This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world, he's speaking of Satan here, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And then the final prophecy that Jesus fulfilled in just one day, number 27, the Messiah will be buried in a tomb belonging to a rich person. Isaiah 53:9 says, "They made his grave with the wicked, with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth." Matthew 27:57-60 says this, "Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed." So as you can see, this is unbelievable. 27 messianic prophecies fulfilled in just one 24-hour period by Jesus the Messiah. It's part of the over 300 prophecies of the Old Testament that he fulfilled, and only he could fit the bill as the promised Messiah of Israel, the God-man, Jesus Christ. We'll have more Faith Explained in our next episode. I'm Cale Clark. We're going to open up right now the Faith Explained Q&A mailbag. Okay, as we open up our Q&A mailbag here on the Faith Explained, I want to remind you once again, you can email me. The address is faith@relevantradio.com, faith@relevantradio.com. And you can also try to find me on the X.com app, formerly known as Twitter, of course. My handle there is @CaleClark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. I got an email from Father Joe, who's a pastor of two different parishes in New Jersey, faithful listener to the Cale Clark Show and the Faith Explained. He was asking me to explain the Todah sacrifice of the Old Covenant. A lot of you might be scratching your heads right now. What on earth is the Todah sacrifice? Dr. Tim Gray, great scholar. I know Tim, and he's written a lot on this. He wrote a chapter in the book Catholic for a Reason, number 3, on this whole topic of the story of the Todah. What does it mean? Ta-da! You know, here's the faith. Well, T-O-D-A-H is how you spell this in English. And most people have heard about, of course, the burnt offerings in the temple and the slaughter of the lambs, if you will, the silence of the lambs, the Passover time. Most people don't know about the Todah sacrifice. And Tim Gray explains that this was actually a pretty important thing in the Hebrew mindset. In fact, a significant sacrifice. There was an old rabbinic teaching. The rabbis used to say this: in the coming age of the Messiah, all of the sacrifices will cease except for the Todah offering, the Todah sacrifice. It will never stop. So, okay, this seems like a pretty big deal. What is this? What is it? What is it about this that make it the one old covenant sacrifice that will stand the test of time, stand the test even in the messianic age, not going to stop? Well, the word Todah, it has to do with a thank offering, thanksgiving, if you will. Now, someone would make one of these sacrifices, a Todah sacrifice, when they'd been delivered from a very, very dangerous situation, such as they've recovered from a deadly disease, they're in great danger, there's a war, everyone's going to be killed, and somehow the danger goes away. God defeats his enemies, whatever the case might be. So the person who's gotten this great grace from God, who's been healed or delivered from danger, what this person would do to show thanksgiving, they'd gather all their close friends and family, and they would have this meal called the Todah sacrificial meal. They would sacrifice a lamb in the temple, and there would also be, get this, there would be bread that would be consecrated in the temple as well, the very moment that the lamb was sacrificed. How about that? So the lamb meat, the bread, and wine, those would be the elements of the sacred Todah meal. And then they would pray songs of thanksgiving. Psalm 116, very, very important. That would be prayed as well. That's one of the psalms Jesus sang, by the way, in the Mount of Olives before his passion. Anyways, so Todah means thanksgiving in Hebrew. It also has connotations of praise as well. As Tim Gray explains, Leah, in the Old Covenant, when she gave birth to her fourth son, she named him Yehuda, or Judah. That's actually the same thing as Todah. It's the named form of Todah. She's basically saying, I'm giving thanks to God, and that's going to be his name, give thanks. So it's all over the Old Testament. Judah, offers up a Todah sacrifice, or at least promises to, if I'm somehow saved, you know, when he's in the belly of the beast, you know, in the ocean, if I can somehow get out, I'm going to make a Todah sacrifice in the temple. King Hezekiah offers a Todah hymn of praise when he recovers from this danger that he faced, a life-threatening illness. King David gives a Todah festival after defeating the Canaanites and brings the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And what does he do? He offers bread and wine and the meat of the sacrifices. How about that? Hymns of thanksgiving. So this is a liturgical thing as well. And all of this is kind of in the background, clearly, to Jesus Christ, the Last Supper. Because not only was it a Passover meal, it was a Todah meal. The Hebrew word Todah is translated in Greek as, guess what? Eucharistia. Eucharistia, Eucharist. And Eucharist, as you know, means thanksgiving. How about that? And that's what Jesus did at the Last Supper, the first Mass. He took bread, wine, and he did what? He gave thanks over them. Thanksgiving. That's Luke 22:19. So the Todah is clearly in the background as well. Some scholars think it was nothing but a Todah meal. No, it was a Passover meal as well, but it has the elements also of the Todah, the thanksgiving sacrifice. It really does kind of aid in our understanding here. The Passover meal really is kind of a thanksgiving meal too, right? Because the Jews were giving thanks for their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. The Passover meal has all the same stuff that a Todah sacrifice meal has. Bread, wine, a lamb, hymns, prayers. They would pray the Hallel Psalms, Psalms 113-118, just for the Hallel of it. Now that's where we get the word Hallelujah from, by the way, the Hallel Psalms. These are Todah Psalms. How about that? And of course, it makes sense in the context of a Eucharistic sacrifice of thanksgiving because, again, people would offer this Todah thanksgiving sacrifice when they're being delivered from danger. Well, there's no greater danger than being lost for all eternity because of sin, the flesh, the devil, and Jesus rescues us from these things with his passion, his death, his powerful resurrection. So this is key, absolutely key to understanding this. So Father Joe, thank you very much for asking me that question about the Todah sacrifice. A lot of people don't know about this, but it teaches us that when we go to Mass, this is thanksgiving. We're giving thanks for what Jesus has done for us, and we're also experiencing it ourselves because we get to receive Jesus, the gift of himself, in the Eucharist. Wow. Absolutely. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God and everything that he's done for us. All right. I will see you later today on The Cale Clark Show, live on Relevant Radio, and 23 and a half hours from now on the next edition of The Faith Explained. Check the podcast, share it with a friend. God bless you.